Welcome to the Single Parent Podcast. Whether you've been a single parent for a while now or have just started on your journey,
the Single Parent Podcast is a safe place for single parents to get some great information and resources, hear the stories of fellow single parents, and connect with a strong and supportive community.
We want to help you go from surviving to thriving.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Single Parent Podcast. Christina, please tell our listeners who we have here today.
I am so excited for this lovely lady that we have on the podcast today. We have Jess Dirksen of True to You Lifestyle. Her and I met at a networking event for women, and I'm super excited to have her on the podcast today because we've done some work together, and I think her business is just perfect for this audience that we have. So Jess, how would you tell us a little bit about yourself and your awesome business?
Beautiful. Thank you. So I'm Jessica Dirksen, and I'm the founder of the True to You Lifestyle. And I'm a certified health and life coach, and I've brought in, you know, my past experience, my own stuff that I've lived through to get to where I am and really use that as my coaching. So I'm really all about always trying to figure out how I can become the best version of myself. And that's really what I help clients do. I work with mostly women, some men, but I really focus on encouraging them, inspiring them, and giving them the tools so that they can empower themselves to be the hero of their own story, because we're all living our own story. And I think that we get so caught up in what our expectations are and, you know, what we should be doing, what, you know, social media says, and we forget who we are, or we lose a piece of us. And so I really want to encourage as many people in the world to step into who they are, be their best version of themselves, and be the hero of their story so that they get to live a life that they love.
I absolutely love that, because I know that's a trap I feel, and I say mums, but parents in general fall into this trap of we sometimes lose ourselves in the role of parent. I know I did that. I did that very much in my marriage, and I love that. It's almost like, do you find that for parents, when you work with parents, is it almost a rediscovery of oneself? Yeah.
Absolutely. And if you ask, and I'd love to ask you guys today, you know, like, what are you proud of? When you ask someone, especially a parent, what are you proud of? Their first response is always, oh, I'm proud of my kids, and I'm proud of my kids that they did this. And we lose sight of what are you proud of yourself? And it's beautiful to have pride in other people, especially your children. But what do you love about yourself? What are you proud about yourself? So I really think, you know, when I work with people, it's, yeah, that new discovery. No one ever ask people, what would you love in your life? What would you love in terms of your health, in terms of your relationships, in terms of your, you know, your finances, you know, your career? What would you love? And when we're not asked that question, we get so just caught up in the daily motions and doing everything for everybody else and taking care of our kids. And so there's a huge rediscovery process. What do you value? What do you care about? What would really, you know, spark that light in you so that you get to live the best year ever next year? And so rediscovering really who you are, what you really enjoy doing, and turning that into your life and making it so it's not just now you and then your kids, like, but you can make it into full spectrum success, right?
Yeah, no, I love that you say that, because I remember a time when the kids were younger and I truly was just living day to day, and it was like an exhausted cycle of just trying to make it to the end of the day when they went to bed. And I don't know when I had some sort of epiphany, but I was like, I need to start remembering it is my life. And my kids are a part of that, absolutely. But what's going to make me happy? And then in return, how is that going to feed off into my children, right? So I like the whole aspect of that, because I don't think a lot of parents are quite there yet. I mean, I sure wasn't. I'm just getting there now, where I'm like, oh, if I'm going to manifest something to happen, I'm going to make sure it happens now. And I think it started around the time that we started the podcast. It's really doing things for myself and not just like, you said something about what are you proud of? And I think about, yeah, I used to be like, oh, my kids. But now I'm like, oh, I'm proud that I was a part of a marginalized community, and somehow I've now inspired many. And Christine and I have created this podcast to like make a difference in the lives of people. But I know Christina's twirling in her mind right now, and she wants to feed off of what I'm saying. So Christina, go.
You just threw me under the bus. Thanks.
I love it.
No, it's interesting because I felt the same way. Like when you asked the question of what are you most proud of, my instinct was to say my kids. And then I realized, well, yes, but also, you know, it's not just because there's a difference between, because your question was, what are you most proud of? And it wasn't that it's what are you most proud of about yourself, not I'm proud of my kids, right? And what they're doing and all of that, but what we're doing. And for me, I know a big part is this podcast. That's a big part of, you know, what I find joy in. And I actually look forward to podcasting days because, you know, we get to talk to, you know, amazing people and, you know, create this community. And I'm actually proud of, and I'm not sure, Christina, if you feel the same way, but one of the things I'm actually most proud of is how far I've come and how much I've changed since my split. That's actually been the biggest part for me of, yes, you can't see it, but Jess is like lifting her arms in victory right now.
Victory dance.
But I realize like how I am now, the person that I was in my marriage, I don't recognize her anymore. She's somebody that's no longer, and even this past year,
amen,
you know, keep that going as well. Like it, that's the thing that I'm most proud of, is the want and need to continually grow and change and, like you said, become that best version of yourself. And I'm not gonna lie, I am a bit of an overachiever, and so when I'm like, am I there yet? Oh, shut up.
Christina, I love that about you though.
Well, it can be a strength, but also a weakness sometimes. I find. It
makes my job easier, everybody.
I have some control issues sometimes. I will fully admit that. But one thing I wanted to ask is that when you do take on clients, Jess, do you find that people have to be at a certain level of openness to change? Like, how selective are you with your clients?
Oh, absolutely. People usually don't reach out to me unless they are like, okay, I'm ready to change. Like, I don't know what I need, but I need something to be different. You know, I don't really know what coaching is, but can you just kind of talk to me about what you can do to make me feel unstuck? But people have to be open and willing to change. Like, you can't, you know, just, no, I don't think, for the most part, I've never been hired by someone who was just closed off to everything. And if I got that sense, I would not, you know, take their money in the first place. I wouldn't work with them. But people don't usually reach out for help until they're like, okay, I'm ready to really understand what I need to do differently or get to know myself. And a big part of the process, especially when I work with moms, is loving themselves again, like really building that relationship with who they are. They're like, I just want to like who I am again. How do I do that? How do I figure out what, you know, how to build a relationship with myself? How do I figure out how to look in the mirror and actually like the reflection I see back? So you have to be, if anyone, whatever change you're trying to create, you have to be ready for it. You have to be open to the experience. And it doesn't make it easy just because you're open. And, you know, I have clients that want to yell at me sometimes. They're like, I can't, it can't be done. And like, yeah, you know, it can, but people need that accountability and they need that they just need that proper support structure to push them along. Cause I don't think anyone in your life, like no, none of us, we can't do anything on it. We can't do everything on our own. Or else we would, right? We'd already have all the goals. We'd achieve all the things we wanted if we could do everything on our own. So you have to be, ready and open and willing for change.
So what's your process in terms of like kind of connecting with people, getting the coaching started? What can people expect when they want to work with you as a coach?
We're going to break it all down. No, I'm just kidding. we are. So, you know, I always, before I ever work with anyone, we always do like a free conversation, a free, you know, just strategy kind of consult call, just to see if we're a right fit, because not everyone's going to be right fit. And not everyone, like you said, thinks they might be ready, but they're not really ready because it's intensive. I think coaching is pretty intense, but you get what you put into it. So, you know, you can show up to one of our calls and lie and you won't get anything out of it. But it's all about asking the right questions. So really meeting the person where they're at. And we do, you know, break down a lot of stuff you're going through. So let's figure out what kind of beliefs are holding you back. What are the stories you tell yourself? So your thoughts create your reality, right? The thoughts that you're thinking ultimately create the results in your life. So if you're not happy with those results, you have to change your thinking. And so really getting clear and gaining that, a lot of us aren't even aware of our thoughts. They're so habitual. We continue the same thoughts over and over and over again. So let's gain that awareness of, okay, it's called metacognition, right? Like notice what you're noticing and being able to be aware of what your thoughts are. And are these thoughts holding you back from what it is you say you want? Or are they really are helping push you forward? For the most of the times they're holding you back. That's why you haven't gotten to where you want to go. So, I mean, the first thing is always figuring out what it is you really want in your life. The second thing is let's really figure out where your thinking is. What are your thinking habits? What are your thought process? What's holding you back? And start to interrupt, like use a pattern interrupt those thoughts and replace them with more empowering thoughts that are in aligned with what it is you would really love in your life. And then you go and you take the action. And it, you know, sometimes it's hard, but there's always ups and downs in life, right? You make like three steps ahead, you go five steps back. And that's just why, mm-hmm. you know, working with a coach has that accountability piece to really just help you know what actions to take next, right? Because we can all take action, but it doesn't mean it's the right action.
Preach. Absolutely preach. Yeah. Cause we've had a dating coach on the podcast, and it's the similar idea of tackling those, she calls them limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
Right. And those it's that energy, those things that are holding you back. And holy crap, it's hard to shift, because I hate to use age as a factor, but I feel like it is, like, at this point in life, like a lot of us are kind of set in our ways. And I find it's been difficult personally for me to break that and to shift into something new. And it's painful.
I'm going to challenge you on that. That's a limiting belief. The age is a limiting belief. So mm-hmm. I have a client, she's 71, and she made the craziest changes in her life since we've been working together. So age is a limiting belief. And so, you know, like up until now, my age is what, you know, was the factor, but you get to change that new belief.
I like
limiting beliefs are so real. I remember I was working for a company and we actually went to a workshop at that time, and it was all about limiting beliefs. And I was like, how does this have anything to do with sales? But it did. And then I sort of was like, I could take this in my personal life and really think about what are my own limiting beliefs. And there was so many. And I'm like thinking, as a coach, you must have limiting beliefs sometimes. And how do you overcome those for yourself? And then B, how do you help your clients overcome limiting beliefs? Because it is, yes, a lot of it's work that they need to do on their own, but what kind of encouragement do you have for them? Because that's so hard. So hard.
Yeah. So there's a lot to that. So first of all, I always have a coach. I don't do anything on my own. If anyone ever hires a coach, I think you should only hire a coach who has a coach, because then you know they're like into this development, personal stuff too, and trying to better themselves. But I have a coach who helps me with my limiting beliefs. But a huge thing is, first of all, that awareness. You have to really start paying attention to your thoughts so you learn what your limiting beliefs are. And you can look to the results in your life and really learn what, you know, your paradigms are, what's holding you back. So getting clear on what those beliefs are, and then you want to prove them wrong, right? So I do a bunch of different strategies. So I have, I call it like get yourself create a character. So what's this character? So her name is Patrice. And so every time this negative thought, you've ever saw How I Met Your Mother?
Yes, that's exactly where my mind went.
Nobody likes you, Patrice. Yes.
I was going to ask, do you scream it when you write down your limiting beliefs?
Yeah. So yes. I like, anytime, like, you know, these thoughts of like, you're not good enough. Oh, you can't go after that goal. You'll never get that target. You'll be a terrible stepmom, whatever. No, but thanks. I don't need you today, Patrice. And like yelling at it. And what it does to your mind is it starts to separate who you are from those beliefs. So you're now, you're like saying like, shut up. And then you want to fill in with a more empowering thought, right? So you want to change the thought. But the other thing is to prove these limiting beliefs wrong. So, you know, for example, oh, maybe I'm terrible at public speaking. Every time I've done it, I've messed up my words or I've fallen on stage. Okay, well, now let's list all the public speaking events that you've done. How many of those were, you know, did people not stand up? Did they not clap? How many times did you really fall on stage? How many times did you really mess up your words? So now you're getting to the facts of this limiting belief and you're like, oh, okay, well, out of five talks, I really only messed up two times and everyone clapped every single time. And okay, well, what did you learn from the experience where maybe that it was true, right? So you really want to break it down to the facts. You're like, okay, because what people do with their beliefs is it's an all or nothing, right? It's everything is bad. Yes. And I'll never do that. So it's like, okay, no, not everything, not never. Let's get to the facts. And it's like, oh, and then it kind of eases your subconscious mind a little bit and it helps to start to overcome it because you're like, okay, well, this isn't really true.
Love that.
I just love that you call your limiting belief Patrice. That just
nobody likes you.
Nobody asked you, Patrice.
If there's anything I take from this, I'm like, I'm going to name it. I feel like Shaniqua would be good.
Shaniqua. Okay. Also, not just name it, but in your mind, create this character that looks just absolutely insane. Like create this, like visualize this person as being so ridiculous. You almost ridicule them. Like, shut up. I don't need you. Right. Like you're insane. Like your thoughts don't, like your opinion doesn't matter, Patrice.
I love that. Absolutely love it. And I love that you challenged me on what I said. I do appreciate that because it's apparent how ingrained they can be. Like I didn't even realize I'd said that, right? Until you brought it to my attention. It was like, oh man. And I'm realizing I got a lot of writing to do after this episode. Because I'm like, huh, I'm beginning to remember a lot of other little limiting beliefs that I've got. So are you, with the work that you do and being a lifestyle coach, what exactly does that mean?
Yeah. So I work with clients. So I started off health coaching. So all my clients came to me for weight loss and none of it, once I start talking to them and getting to know them and asking questions, it was never about the weight. What I was noticing is these women, they wanted to feel more confident. They wanted to like feel comfortable in their skin. They wanted to like who they were. They wanted to feel more attractive to their partner. They feel like they've disconnected from their marriage. So it all turned into all these other outside things and none of it ever had to do with losing weight. And so I started to notice, you know, how people do one thing, they really do everything. So I really evolved into more life coaching, but I keep a huge part of the health aspect because I'm really big on feeling really good. So you thrive through the day. So everything I do, whether it's my one-on-one coaching, my group coaching, I do a lot of, you know, just bringing in stuff to make you feel really good while you're the hero of your own story. Right. But yeah, so I coach clients through a group coaching program. And then I work a lot of one-on-one with them. I love both aspects of it. Cause I think in groups, you get to learn a lot from other people and you have that extra accountability. And I love one-on-one cause then every program's just tailored to them. Right. It's very, very specific to what their needs are and what their goals are.
There's a lot of different kinds of coaching out there, right? And so I love that it's literally lifestyle that you're helping with. It's life, right? And I like that.
Yeah, so I really think about people want to create change and they want to make more money and they want to get in a relationship or have a more successful, and they want to do all of these things that it's so overwhelming. So I like when I meet with someone, it's like, okay, well, what's the most important thing for you to focus on right now? Like, let's put this on a scale of 1 to 10 and figure out which area of your life is lacking the most. And let's focus on that. And the really beautiful thing is when you just put all of your energy and attention into one area, then it creates a ripple effect in all other areas of your life. So if someone comes to me and they're like, you know, I just really want to improve my relationships. Okay, we're going to put all our attention on that. We're going to do a lot of coaching around that, a lot of mindset stuff around that. And then what starts to happen is, you know, they're really successful in this area and then they show up differently at work. So now their career is becoming more successful. They're taking more better care of their health because they're feeling really good about that area of their life. So it creates a ripple effect. But I think without, you know, the support, people are like, no, I need to change everything all at once. We need to figure this out. And then it's so much that they're like, screw this. I'm just going to stay here on my couch and do nothing. Right. So I really just like helping people figure out, okay, which area is most important. Let's work on that and then do a nice ripple effect.
I'm laughing because I'm like sitting on my couch and doing nothing. I'm like, I think we've all had those days where I'm like, fuck this, I'm done. But then you sort of wake up the next day and you're like, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Put on your big girl panties and let's do this. Yeah.
No, I want to.
I was also chuckling a bit when you mentioned that, because I thought, yeah, like I'm a type of person that wants to do so many things and I can see everything that needs to be done. And I do get overwhelmed. I do get overwhelmed. And so in working with your clients, you mentioned kind of figuring out the areas that need the most work. Do you leave that up to your clients, or do you kind of sometimes guide them towards what you see? You know what? I don't know if this is actually the crux of what you're dealing with. Like, do you try and guide them with that?
Yeah. I mean, I ask them a lot of questions, right? So questions helps guide them. But if there's something they're saying, but then they're kind of saying, but I need to do this over here, I just kind of point out to them like this, from my point of view, from what you're telling me, this is what I'm seeing. And then it's kind of like, oh, I didn't even realize, kind of like you said, I didn't even notice I said that. I didn't even realize I was like putting a lot of attention into that or energy into that. So yeah, I think, and that's the biggest thing with coaching, is asking the right questions to expand someone's thinking. Right? Like you, if you just ask simple, you know, these yes and no questions, it doesn't really help the client. It doesn't help them expand their thoughts. So it's just about the right questions to help, you know, the person, the client, really have that better awareness of their life. So then they can start making different choices.
Do you find that there's a big difference between how you approach coaching with men versus how you approach coaching with women?
Yeah. Yes. So I don't work a lot with men. Mostly the only time I ever really did was for weight loss. So when I really first started out, I do have a new program coming out in the new year. And so what this is I do it like a masterclass. So like every month there's a new theme. And then there's like a couple of weeks later, there's some coaching, live coaching. And so I do have some men signed up for that. So I'm kind of excited just to see, and that's going to be a group coaching setting. So it's going to be a little bit different, but it'll be kind of cool to see how that goes with them.
So what are some differences that you see between, and I don't like to make it a gender thing, but men and women are different biologically, physically, emotionally, like all of it. So what are some differences that you see, and maybe how do you adjust your coaching to allow for that?
Yeah. I mean, so when men would come to me for weight loss, they really just wanted a plan. They're just like, what do I eat? What's my plan? How often should I work out? What should I do? It was not, they didn't really want to dive deep into like why. And that's not true for all men. But a lot of them were just like, no, I don't really want to deal with like the underlying things or what might be my true goals are. I just really want to shed this excess weight. And I want you to tell me how to do that.
Just 1, 2, 3 and we're good. Okay. So with women then, it sounds like we are more open to hearing about these underlying issues then.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I don't really give them a choice. I just ask them the questions and it just flourishes into so much. And they talk and they open up and, you know, and it's kind of like that safe place for them. Men, when I've asked them the questions, like, oh, I don't think we really need to focus on that. Should we? Is this going to be important? Like they want to question everything you ask. They want to answer your question with a question. But no, I think they're really open. And
it is a thing in any aspect. I just even remember when I was in like the insurance industry and I'd have clients that were men and they would be like, well, why do you need to know that? Why do you want to, what does that have to do with anything? And I'm like, well, like if you want to really dig deep, like, and they're like, no, just give me the insurance. Give me this much. And I'm like, well, how do I know that's how much you need?
My husband was like, I mean, he's warmed up to like some of that, like, cause I ask a lot of questions. I just ask questions. It's natural to who I am, especially now as I coach. At the beginning, it's like, oh, not this again. Give me a new one. What are we diving into today?
I love that. That's amazing.
That's so interesting that you say that, because I mean, this is kind of a sidetrack, but I find that in the dating world, like that's my go-to is to ask questions. That's how I find out about someone, right? But it's a lot of times, like, I don't want it to be an interview because that's right. That's part of my job is doing that. And I realized I've had to dial that back a little bit because it, you don't want it to be like you shine a bright light in someone's face, be like, tell me everything about yourself. Right. Yeah. But I love that he just kind of, I mean, he sounds like he good naturedly teased you about it, but at least he rolled with it. Right. So
for sure.
I think, you know, a lot of our listeners would want to know how to find your information. So where would they go to like sign up for group coaching or individual, or how would they do that?
Yeah. So you can go right to my website, truetoyoulifestyle.com. Find me on social media. All my handles are at Jessica Dirksen Health Coach, and just reach out, send me an email through the website, send me a message through Instagram or Facebook. I love to connect and just have a conversation.
And actually, maybe tell us a little bit about, because you mentioned a course that you're offering in the new year and you kind of gave us a little bit of info about that. Where can people sign up for the course and maybe give us a little more in-depth info about the class and what people can do with that?
Yeah. So it's called Jess's Club, and it's about community. It's about love. It's about being unapologetically ourselves, and it's about showing up boldly. And every single month we're going to unpack a different, it's really all about personal development, personal growth. So every month we're going to unpack different topics and dive deep into them to help us on our own journey, to help you grow, to help you get to the next best version of who you're meant to be. So, you know, for example, January, we're starting off with goal setting for the year. We're doing, I think February is manifestation. March is like overcoming self-sabotage. We have stuff on habits, boundaries, self-love. So every month is a new theme, a new topic, and you're part of a community. So you have the support from each other. You have the support from me. And you can go right to the website to sign up for it. It's called Jess's Club. The pop-up should show up.
Do you need to be a current client or can anybody join in? No.
Anyone can join in, and it's at a really, really low fee. You can like sign up for the whole year. I think it's like just over $400. That's all the coaching included, all the monthly seminars, the master classes, the community, or you can just pick which month you want and then sign up for a month. So every month I'll kind of announce what's the topic, and you can just go in and sign up for that month if that's all you want.
I love
that's
it.
Awesome.
I love it. I love it. I might be messaging you after this call.
She's like, I want to be in the club. I need it.
I do. I honestly, yeah. Yeah.
I think it's amazing. To it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's interesting, like hearing you talk about this, because there have been some things this past year that I feel like kind of gotten me stuck. I don't like feeling like that. And I know, you know, I don't think anybody enjoys feeling stuck. I mean, maybe there are some people who enjoy just staying where they are because they're not called to grow or change what they're doing or whatnot. But I know for the majority of people, it's not a comfortable place to be. It's really not. It feels icky. That's probably the best word I can use to describe it. It just feels icky, and you feel like you can't. For me, it's a physical thing too. Like when I'm feeling blocked mentally, emotionally, I feel it physically. It's like it's more of an effort to move forward because everything's kind of blocking mentally. And I love what you said about kind of everything being connected. And I wonder if it's similar just within a person. It's like it's all connected together. And yeah, no, I'm totally going to call you after this call and be like, I want to be the next member of Jess's Club. I do.
Love it. I have a question too, Jess. I know you talked a little bit about how you got into coaching, but even before that, you had started sort of with like the weight loss stuff. What made you want to even start that? Like, were you doing something completely different? Like, I'm just really curious, what was your calling?
Yeah, so for years I had really poor habits. So a lot of the coaching I do is focused around habits because I think habits are really, really make us or break us. So I had very poor habits. I was not on the right path in life. And I went to my doctor, I was like 19-ish, and he's like, wanted to put me antidepressants, didn't want to take them. Long story short, he says, move your body every single day for like, see how you feel. I was like, okay. And so I started to do that and I moved, I went to the gym, I got a membership, and it was like the first time I was really this active in my life. And I kind of got addicted to this feeling of like energy. I felt really good. And so that started like my health journey of changing what I was eating, you know, consuming more different things or stop consuming certain things. And so over the years, as the years went on, I just always became someone who loved health and like really was aware of my fitness and what I was eating and stuff like that. And then I was in a job that I loved it at first. I worked in health and safety, and then they had like budget cuts. So my job turned into sitting at a desk and doing data entry, which is not my thing. I need to talk to people. I love like training and education, and I just couldn't do it. So I read a book called The Passion Test. And after that, I did all the workbook, the activities. I was like, I'm going to be a health coach. And I didn't even know if that was a thing, but I was like, this is what I'm going to do. And so I did some Googling, and then I found a certification. So did that. And like I said, as that went on, I realized I was doing a lot more life coaching. So I got a certification for that as well.
Good for you. I love that.
Thank you.
That's awesome. It's just interesting to hear different stories of like how people get to where they are and what they're feeling in their heart and how you're really giving back to so many people now through your coaching and making their lives that much better. So it's such a cool feeling for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, it is. Thank you.
So with being a coach then, what are some of the most rewarding things you see in your coaching, both for you and for your clients?
Oh, I love getting like text messages or emails from my clients. Like, you'll never believe what I did today. And it's like something that we talked about that they never thought they would do. Or like when they've hit a goal or when they like really, you can see their glow in them. Like you can see people's faces change when they're stepping into who they're meant to be, when they're starting to be like their authentic self, when they're starting to be really true to who they are. And it takes a lot of work and it's yucky and messy to unpack a lot of that. But when you kind of see that moment of like, okay, what I'm doing is actually making a difference in this person's life. And so like just getting messages and texts of stuff of like wins that, you know, clients have to share, or like a journal experience that they had on something hard, but they overcame it and they got through the journaling or whatever. But just hearing those different stories from them is so rewarding, and it just makes me feel good. And my clients inspire me. So, you know, I hear some of their stuff and I'm like, oh, I think I'm actually might be struggling with that in my own life. Like I need to start listening to myself, or I need to unpack this with my coach. And so it's rewarding. It's personally rewarding, but it's also so just rewarding to see their growth. And I just want to, like, I just want people, and I always say women because I work mostly with women, but I just want people to live their best life. Like, we only have one life to live. We're meant here to live it, not just, you know, zombie walk through it. And so anytime I can, you know, if I talk to 10 people and I make a difference in one person's life, like, that's rewarding.
I love it. What would you say to somebody who's kind of been on the fence the last little while about making the shift, making the change? What would you say to them?
I would ask them how they're feeling today. And if that, you know, on December, let's say 31st, 2022, are they going to be okay if they're exactly in the same spot they're at today? How would that make them feel if they've made no shifts, no changes? And that was a question someone asked me. That was a really powerful question where I was like, I won't be okay. So if you think about that and think about your life and you're like, no, I don't want this in a year from now, then take the leap and start doing the work.
You can find more great episodes featuring helpful information and amazing stories by searching Single Parent Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts,
or visit www.lifesongfilms.com and click podcast.
Thanks for joining us today.
And remember, we're all in this together.